I don't know about you, but I am tired of church as usual. I like church not to be usual. If we ever become bored in church, we're really not in church. If we ever cease to be astounded at God, we're not really focused on God. If we ever cease to be inspired to greatness, then we're not being challenged by the Spirit. But today, God wants to be God in your mind, in your heart, and in your will. Today, God wants to be God in this church. And He wants to do anything and everything that is necessary for us to follow Him to the other side. That's what I want to talk to you about today, is following Jesus to the other side. Following Jesus to the other side. Now you'll need some explanation and we'll need some understanding about the other side. What is the other side? Well, the other side is opposite from where you're at right now. You might be at the best side you've ever been in until the next side that He takes you to. But I really believe that as God allowed me to wrestle with this truth over and over again, that He would have people assembled here that had been on the brink of Jordan's stormy banks, casting a wishful eye, hearing the Spirit of God saying, "Who will come and follow me?" God's wanting to take you to the other side. But He's not wanting you to follow me to the other side. He's not wanting me to follow you to the other side. He's wanting us to follow Jesus to the other side. Let's read the Word of the Lord out loud together, please. In verse 35, it says, "On that day." Tell somebody, "On that day." Well, I just get all messed up looking at that day. That was a day. That was a chronos. In the chronological order of events in that 24-hour of time, God took the chronos and made it kairos. Now, kairos is God's eternity. It is His destiny that is compacted in time and revealed in a chronological moment of time. Glory. On that day, when evening came, He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Now say that last part again. "Let us go over to the other side." Verse 36 says, "Leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up." Now, some of you are in the boat right now, and your boat's been filled up with water, and you're looking around, "Why did I get in this boat?" Some of you are looking over from the other side of the river, thinking about getting in the boat. But you've heard voices telling you, if you get in the boat, water's coming in that boat. I want to talk to you about following Jesus to the other side. There are two things that I want to bring about to your attention in this message. The first thing that I want to show you is that if you're going to move from this side to the other side, then His invitation needs to be received. His invitation will be received. Look at what it says in verse 35 very carefully. "He said to them," who's He? Jesus said to them, "Let us go to the other side." Now again, let me set the stage for you a little bit about what we're talking about, His invitation being received. Every single one of us have received, will receive, or are receiving an invitation. God is in the invitation extending business. When you come to the fact of being in existence, the fact that you are created is because God has an invitation that He wants to send to you. He has an invitation that began before time was ever created. And He wants to invite you to a personal relationship with Him. I'm talking to somebody today that you have not yet recognized, or maybe you've recognized it, but you haven't yet responded to the invitation that Jesus sent to you to have a personal relationship with God. You've been on a quest, you've been on a journey, you've been on a search for who is this God anyway? The Hindus say He's this. The Muslims say He's this. The Jehovah's Witnesses say He's that. But really, none of that really matters right now. But it's who do you say that He is? You've got to have some type of authority or a basis for who you think God is. And the Word of God reveals to us that God has manifested Himself to us in three persons. As the Father, as the Son, and through the Holy Ghost. There's not three gods, there's only one God. He is three times holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And this God went to the design and to the desire of His heart to create you just like you are. No matter the color of your skin or the geography of your birth, He created you. You are fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And He did that because He intended to extend an invitation to you to a personal relationship with Him. Now, it took me 25 years to recognize the invitation. How long has it taken you? We had 15 children recognize the invitation at Vacation Bible School, and I praise God for that they didn't have to wait 25 years to find that invitation. God uses different things, and God uses different people to put you into the position of receiving the invitation. And for somebody within the sound of my voice this morning, the invitation that's required for you to go to the other side is the invitation to salvation, to redemption, to the forgiveness of your sins, to Jesus becoming the Lord of your life. Now, that was the most important decision that I had ever made, and it's still the most important one I've ever made to this date, and it's the most important one any of you will ever make as well. Jesus is saying to somebody today, follow Me to the other side. Now, if you've not yet been saved, if Jesus is not yet the Lord of your life, if He does not take up residence in your heart through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, then you're on the darkness, kingdom of darkness side. But what Jesus is saying to you is, follow Me over to the kingdom of light side. Follow Me over to the kingdom of God's side. Don't follow the Baptist over there. Don't follow the Pentecostals over there. Don't follow the Charismatics over there. Don't follow any denomination or any religion over there, because you'll get twisted in the journey. But if you follow God, He'll take you to the other side. And today I am as sure and I am as on solid ground as October 21st, 1980, when I first bent my knee and bowed my heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that I'm making it to the other side. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His grace, we're going to make it to the other side. We are receiving that invitation. And He said, Bobby, if you'll take Me at my word will take you to the other side. And man, I am bound for the promised land. I had a spell in my office before I came out here. I got to listening. I thank God for David for a lot of reasons, but he has got me the best music system in my office I've ever had before. I can click on David's favorites list or Bobby's favorites list. I got to looking at 1,000 choices at least, and I came down to the light of that city. I put that on, just began to listen to it a little bit, and oh my goodness, I had a spell. If anybody walked by and saw, I had my hands raised. I had my voice was shouting. I praise God for the light of that city, and one day we're going to be there by grace through faith. Man, I hope you can tell. I want you to receive the invitation. He'll let me extend that invitation today, but He's the one that sent it, not me. And if you'll receive that invitation, He'll take you to the other side. Following Jesus to the other side begins with the invitation being received to salvation. But there's another invitation after that. It's better. It gets better. The majority of you, I would say, have a profession of your faith, the testimony of your life, that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that you have a personal relationship with God. But I believe that many of you, you are on one side and you've got stuck in your journey. And God is saying to you, I want to take you to the other side, opposite of where you're at now. I'm not talking about a geographical place. I'm talking about a spiritual place. I remember for me, after I'd been saved a number of years, I just found myself empty. I found myself busy but empty. And I had an invitation from God, said, Bobby, let's go to the other side from here. And where that other side was for me at that time was to a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. But you see, I'd gotten comfortable over here in my religious experiences. I'd gotten comfortable over here in my religious duties and exercises. I had learned how to live this lifestyle. But there was something yearning. There's got to be more to it than this. And what God was saying to me is, follow me and I'll take you to the other side. And at a men's retreat up in Knox County in Tennessee, I was there and I got a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and God took me to another side. But guess what? He's been saying to me ever since then, let's go to the other side. I want to take you to another place. And what I had to do was actually kick the box out from around me that I had built for me and God. God won't be contained to your box and He won't be contained to my box. And what God invited me to do was to tear down the walls to my box, my man-made box. And so I did that. He said, we're going to go to the other side. Now some of you, you're here today because you have received this invitation to a new level of intimacy with God, a new experience in Christ Jesus. But what God is saying to all of us today, because He pressed this on my heart, is I'm extending a new invitation. And this invitation is required for you to get from where you're at now to where I want to take you. He's extending it to us as a church. I'm extending a new invitation to you, and it's required if you're going to follow me to the other side. Now, basically, all that's introduction. But I'll move quickly. You'll get the gist of it. What is it that I can teach you about this invitation that's required? When God extends it to you, I tried to lay that foundation to you, for you, so that you could get a grasp or understanding if it's salvation that you're needing, an invitation is required. If it's sanctification that you're needing, an invitation is required. If it's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, an invitation is required. Wherever you're at right now, if you are recognizing this personal invitation from God that He wants to take you from where you're at to someplace on the other side, then there's three things you're going to have to wrestle with or be understanding of. Number one, whenever this invitation comes, the timing may not seem logical. The timing of the invitation may not seem logical. I want you to look at verse 35. On that day, when what came? When evening came. Now, it was on a particular day when they had been listening to Jesus teach like no man had ever taught them before. They were grasping truths like they had never grasped before. They were understanding kingdom principles like they'd never understood it before. They were ministering to people. They were meeting people's needs. It had been a long, long day. And it was on that day when they understood some things they'd never understood before. When they'd learned some things they'd never learned before. When they heard some things they'd never heard before. But when the evening time came, Jesus said, now follow me to the other side. Now, why does He do it at evening time? I don't know. But here's what I know about my own journey. If I could see as clearly as I see now, I might not have gone to the other side. If I could have understood some of the things that I was going to have to go through, I might not have gotten a boat to go to the other side. I mean, this thing of being saved is great. It's better not being saved. This thing of being forgiven is wonderful, but it's better than not being forgiven. This thing of being a child of God is marvelous. It's better than not being a child of God. All of these things that goes along with salvation and Christianity is great, but I want to tell you, life can be hard. I want to tell you, ministry can be challenging. I want to tell you, being right with God is going to put you being wrong with a lot of people. And that's some of the evening time stuff. When the evening has come, he said, I want you to get in this boat and follow me to the other side. Why does he say evening time? Because without faith, you can't please God. And if you could see where you're going and what you're going through, that wouldn't be faith. That'd be an intellectual conclusion. But by faith, you say, I'm going to get in that boat anyway. And it may not seem like the logical time for me to do that. Your mind will say, this is not reasonable for you. This is not logical for you to do this. But it's obedient for you to do this. The timing of going to the other side won't be logical to you. Now, some of you are thinking about getting saved today. And your flesh and the devil are telling you the timing is not right for you to get saved. You know that party that's this weekend? You know that date you got next week? You know that camp you want to go to? You know this fun you want to have? Man, wait till after that to get saved. Where do you think that voice is coming from? I mean, now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. That is revelation. What seemed logical to you is from the devil. For some of you that need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, the timing doesn't seem logical to you because there's too many people here. What if God just embarrasses you to no end? You don't even know what embarrassment is other than what the devil will tell you it is. What if God messes you up? Well, that's the reason you need it. You need to be messed up. The timing may not seem logical to you. But are you going to get in the boat anyway? Are you going to follow Jesus anyway, even if the timing doesn't seem logical for you to do that? It gets better or worse depending on your perspective. Once the invitation is required, the timing of going to the other side may not seem logical. But number two, the crossing, the leaving may not seem profitable. The leaving may not seem profitable. Look at what it says in verse 36. Do you see this thing right here? Leaving the what? Leaving the crowd. You know what part of the evening time journey does? It makes you understand the crowds aren't necessarily with you. There are some people right now within the sound of my voice that in order for you to get from where you're at to where God wants you to be, there's some crowds you're going to have to be willing to leave. And if you've got to please the crowds, if you've got to please the crowd, you may never get there. It's fine if the decision God asks you to make pleases the crowds. But what if the decision God asks you to make displeases the crowd? Would you be willing to leave it? For some of you that need to be saved, for some of you that need a fresh surrender of the Lordship of Christ to your life, the thing that's holding you back right now are a few small peer group crowds. What will my friends say? What would they think if I make this decision? If I go to the other side? The timing's not seeming logical to you, and the leaving may not seem profitable for you. And I'll tell you that many of you know by my experience that when you make a decision to go with God by faith to the other side, not everybody that you thought was going with you will go with you the other side. One of the very first meetings that we ever had, if you were a part of that small group that was there, I told you then that not everybody in this room will be with us when we get to the other side. You're not going to be here. I don't know who you are necessarily. There's room in the boat for you. The boat's headed in the... We tried to make the direction of this journey as clear as we know how to make it to you. But once we start making this journey, not all of you are going to go. And the crowds, when they said, are y'all going to the other side? We like it on this side. And so people have bailed and they've gone in different directions. And the same thing will happen to you personally when you decide to follow Jesus. There's some people that are with you that you think are part of the good crowd, the in crowd, the popular crowd, you know, the best crowd. And if you decide to go with God, they're not going to go with you. And if you're trying to decide to get to the other side based on the crowds that are going and crowds are not going, you'll never get in the boat and you'll never get to the other side. All you need to know is the invitation has been extended to you. Jesus said, let us. Now, how many does it take with Jesus to be an us? Him and you. Jesus and me. That's an us. That's a we. And if you think the large crowds are going to go to the other side, it's not going to happen. And the leaving, the safe side, the secure side, the religious side, the traditional side, the convenient side, the popular side, if you think leaving that side and going to the other side is going to be the popular thing to do, the right, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to be willing to leave the crowd. But oh, I like what it says also in that. He says, but there were other boats with them. Some of you represent other boats. Some of you are the other boats that man, you might not have known us when we started going to the other side, but you've seen us going to the other side, and you said, hey, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And I praise God for you, the other boats. And God's got other boats down this street, and God's got some other boats down that street. He's got some other boats down that street, and we keep going to the other side, and the other boats are going to go there with us. But we've had to leave some things that may have seemed profitable on the other side. It gets better or it gets worse, depending on your perspective. The timing may not be logical for you. The leaving may not be profitable for you. And the crossing may not be comfortable to you. Once you get in that boat that's headed to the other side and you're going in the evening time, you don't see the direction that you're going. You don't see what's coming out there. All you can do is feel this boat rocking. This is not comfortable to us here. I mean, there's two main reasons that boat wasn't a comfortable boat. One's external, one's internal. The external reason is obvious why this thing wasn't comfortable. I mean, a fierce gale wind came up. What's that say in your text? I don't know if it's included in your text. Let me read it for you. The Bible says that as they began going to that other side, there are verse 37, there arose a fierce gale of wind. Now, in the practical aspect of your life and my life, a fierce gale of wind is what the Greek word behind that phrase is, mega. There's a mega storm. How many of you are in a storm right now? Now, You've got little storms, you've got medium storms, you've got big storms, and then you got mega storms. You don't qualify for a mega storm unless you've got at least three out of the four fronts blowing against you at the same time. You've got something from the north coming against you, something from the south coming against you, something from the east coming from you, and the only way that's clear is to the west. Now, if you got three out of four fronts, you qualify for a fierce gale of wind. If you got four out of four, you're about to knock a home run with Jesus here. And that's the external thing. These are experienced sailors. And they get out there and it's pitch black. They don't have lights on every city. They don't have street lights. They don't have lanterns, flashlights. They don't have any of those. All they can do is feel these external forces blowing against them. And some of you have got that going on in your life right now. You've got a fierce gale of wind blowing against you. But the real reason that it wasn't that comfortable for them is found in a phrase right here, verse 36. They took who? Along with them in the boat. What's the last four words say? Just as he was. Let me tell you something right now, if you didn't know it. If you know it, let me remind you of it. The way he was is the way he is. If you're going to get in the boat with Jesus and you're going to go to the other side, you can't take him as you want him to be. You can't take Him as you've learned Him to be. You've got to take Him the way that He was, because the way that He was is the way that He is, and the way that He is the way that He always shall be. That's another way of saying He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I mean, He used to open blind eyes. He used to make the deaf to hear. He used to make the lame to walk. And guess what? He still does it today. He used to upset the religious crowd. He used to get all over the Pharisees. He still does. And if you're going to the other side, you can't take Him as you want Him to be. You've got to take Him the way that He was, because the way that He was is the way that He is. And this same Jesus is coming back for us one day. The same Jesus that created everything is coming back for us. The same Jesus that made the axe head to float in the water is coming back for us. The same Jesus that was born of the virgin is coming back for us. The same Jesus who raised Jairus' daughter is coming back for us. The same Jesus that cleansed the temple, He's coming back for us. The same Jesus that walked on water, He's coming back for us. And if you're in the boat with Him, you're not going to be comfortable if you want Him to be a different way. We decide to make this journey to be a Word and Spirit church. We are solid on the Word of God. And we are not afraid of the Spirit of God. What God has joined together, let no man dare try to put asunder. And God has put the Word and God has put the Spirit. And that's the kind of church we're trying to be. And in doing that, as He was in the Word, is the way He is in this world that we live in. What He did yesterday, He can do today, and what He can do today, He can do tomorrow. And when you're trying to go to the other side without taking Jesus as He was, you're not going to make it, or you're in the wrong ship to begin with. Now, following Jesus to the other side, you're going to find some messy things. You're going to find some messy circumstances, and one of your most frequent expressions may be, "I've never seen it done like that before." But I've read about it being done like that before. If you can read about it being done like that before, then you ought to be able to see it being done like that before. Amen? And that's what we're about as a church. We don't want to be a history church. We want to be a present day church. We don't want to believe that there was an awesome God in history, but there is a weak God in the present. So the invitation is required. The timing may not be logical. The leaving may not be profitable. And the crossing may not be comfortable. Aren't you glad this isn't 3 points today? Number two. If the invitation is required and He has personally invited you to get in the boat with Him and cross over to the other side, and He's going to make you do it by faith, you're not going to be able to see where you're going. You're going to have to leave some popular things, some nice things, or people behind. And once you get to going, that you're going to be extremely uncomfortable walking by faith and not by sight all the way to the other side. Why? Why is He asking you to go to the other side? Why can't you just stay where you're at? I mean, you've got it figured out. He's in a nice little box. You'll let Him kick every now and then. Why does He want you? Why does He want me? Why does He want us to go to the other side? Well, the invitation will be required, but number two, the motivation will be revealed. The motivation for Jesus coming to you and saying, "Hey, let's you and me, let's go to the other side." The motivation for Him coming to us and saying, "Hey, let's all of us who want to go, get in this boat and let's go to the other side." The motivation for Him doing that will be revealed. And there's two things that I want to show you from the Word of God as to why He wants you to go to the other side. From wherever you're at right now, whether it's from not being saved to being saved, or if you are saved, to a new level of maturity and sanctification, there are two reasons that He wants you to do that. Number one, a new ministry, a new level of ministry is going to be waiting for you once you get there. A new level of ministry is going to be waiting for you when you get there. Now, let me remind you what ministry is. Ministry is meeting people's needs in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Meeting people's needs in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Now, when you got saved, all the way up in time till you got this invitation to go to the other side, you had learned how to meet people's needs on that side of the river. But Jesus said, let's go to the other side because I've got some more people over there and I want you to be the ones who meet their needs over there. Now, two things about this new level of ministry that's waiting for you over there is when you get there, the greeting may not be reasonable to you. It may not be what you thought it was going to be. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. When he got out of the boat, how soon? He said, hey, I made you wonder about this journey long enough. The journey across this mega storm is got you guessing long enough. I'm about to reveal my motivation for getting you in that boat and getting you over here anyway. Immediately, the Bible said, a man from the country club, a man from the Commerce Committee, a man from Donald Trump's office, Ed McMahon with the lottery ticket man came. They might all be in that category, but a man, he says, from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. The greeting that you get when you get to the other side, it may not be reasonable to you. I signed up for Club Med. I didn't sign up for this dirty work. I signed up for the nice people. I didn't sign up for these people. God has led us on a journey. We've had a tumultuous crossing, but we have gotten to the other side. And guess what God is showing us? Is that there are people all around us that He's wanting us to be the ones who minister to them to meet their needs. But there's a second aspect that's not in your outline, but I just want to give you this before I get it to you. Is not only will the greeting not seem reasonable, but the mission will not seem possible. It'll seem impossible to you and to me to be successful at what the ministry needs are around us. Just read in that little context just a few things about this. A ministry as usual hadn't helped this fella. Because he had often been bound with shackles and with chains. And the chains had been torn apart by him. And the shackles were broken in pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, though, he ran and he bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God, don't torment me any longer. For he had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Come out of the man. What do you do when you encounter people that are possessed of a demon from another world? You don't show them your Sunday school lesson. You don't show them your attendance certificate. Though those things are important. The only thing that's going to tame this man is not a traditional church. It's not a church that doesn't believe in miracles. It's not a church that doesn't believe in the supernatural. That man's been living around that all of his life, and it hadn't helped him a bit. But what God is wanting you to understand, what God's wanting me to understand, the only thing that's going to make your mission accomplished is the power of Almighty God. It's not going to come by your might or by our power, but it's going to come by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Man, when you decide to go to the other side, it's because there is a new level of ministry that's waiting on you on the other side. The greeting might not seem reasonable to you, and the mission might not seem possible for you. But God says, hey, just follow me and watch this. Don't you like it when God says, what's this? That's where Bubba learned it from, you know. That's where you get so daring. You know, watch this. That's Bubba's last words. Watch this. But the second thing that I want to show you is not only does God want you to go to the other side because there's a new level of ministry awaiting you, but there's a new season of miracles available for you. There's a new season of miracles that are available to you. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's see what's common about this. When Jesus had what? Crossed over. Now what's the next word? You mean I'm going to have to go again to another side? Uh-huh. He's not going to let you get stale and stagnant on the other side. There are going to be a lot of crossings going. That's the whole thing about this. You never arrive until you arrive. You're a pilgrim here. You're a sojourner here. This land is not your home here. And where God has you now, He loves you too much to leave you there. If you ever get rooted down to someplace, you quit following Jesus. Jesus is always going to be telling you, follow me to that other side over there. And when you do, there's a new level of ministry that's available to you, awaiting you. But there's a new season of miracles that's available for you. Now, you might have missed this before. There's two people that need a miracle in this text right here. I'm going to try to expedite this real quick because we got some grills and hamburgers and all of those things there. But let me show you. What were these two people that needed this miracle? Two people that needed a miracle. One of them was a man's daughter named Jairus. Do you happen to recall how old she was? She was 12 years old. There was also, interrupting that, a woman who had a hemorrhage of blood. Do you know how long she had that hemorrhage? Coincident. Just an accident. You've got this woman who has this hemorrhage of blood. She's had it for 12 years. And for 12 years, she's not been able to get well. And some would say, well, if you just go to the right doctor, he'd make you well. She went to every doctor there ever was, and none of them able to make her well. Well, if you just spend some of that money you got in savings, it'd make you well. She'd spend all that she had. Well, surely they made you a little bit better. No, the Word of God says, your Bible reads this way, that nobody has able to help her at all. But she began to hear about this man named Jesus passing through. She began to hear about this man named Jesus that was passing through, and he had power over demons. If he's got power over demons, if he can break the stronghold of the things that control me, if he can stop those things from controlling my life, maybe he can help me. And so she found her way. And she couldn't get an introduction with Jesus. She couldn't get the disciples to give her time with Jesus. But she said, I'm glad I don't need an appointment. I'm glad he's not going to refer me somewhere else. I'm glad he's not going to tell me I don't have time for you. You're not special enough. You're not loved enough. I'm glad all I got to do is reach out with my faith. And all I got to do is just touch his garments. There's enough power in his garments to heal whatever ails me. And so she flings herself out and she grabs hold to it. And Jesus stops. He said, who touched my garments? Who did that? Now you got to know there's thousands around him. And the disciples are perplexed. How do you want to? Everybody's touching you. No. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me, and out of me, power came out of me. And that woman said, it was me. It was me. And he says, tell me what you did. But he wasn't wanting to know for education purposes. He was wanting to know for teaching purposes. He was wanting everybody else to hear. He's wanting you to hear this. He's wanting me to hear this. And she said, well, I'd been to all these doctors and I'd spent all the money I had, and I've had this issue of blood, this hemorrhage of blood for over 12 years, and I've not been able to get better at all. But when I touched you, when I touched those garments with faith, man, there's power came out of you and I am healed inside. I know it is because it flew from you and it flowed through me. Jesus commended that and said, you're exactly right. But why her? What does she represent? 12 years. She represents the traditional church that's lost her power. Spent all the money that they've ever been given and never been able to make anything or anyone better. What is it about the hemorrhage? What is it about? All of you women will know about that. This was talking about her menstrual cycle. And it wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. It was a disease. It was a sickness. And for 12 years, she couldn't stop the flow of blood. Can you imagine how weak she'd become in 12 years? She had no power. Also, can you imagine she had no intimacy? She couldn't be intimate with her husband. And she couldn't have any children. Does that describe the traditional church? The traditional church in the present day and age that we live has lost her power. The traditional church has lost her intimacy with her husband. The traditional church is not able to have her children, so we got to steal children from other people. But God's saying, I want you to have so much power, and I want you to be so intimate with me vertically that you can have your own children. God wants to give us our own children. But if we're the traditional church, unless we're willing to reach out and say, God, I don't want church the way it's always been. I want it to be the way that you want it to be. And we've got to reach out and touch Him. And out of Him will flow the power that'll heal our powerlessness and give us a new season of miracles that's available to us. But what about Jairus' daughter? What about Jairus' daughter? She was 12 years old. What's she represent? Well, it's interesting in that he comes and talks to him first, and Jesus says, well, come on, let's go see about it. And as soon as they left healing that woman with the issue of blood, the hemorrhage of blood for 12 years, here came a report from the religious crowd. It's no use. It's no use. The girl's already dead. We've already pronounced death on her. And there is no way. There's no way. You don't have to go there. But Jesus, well, just follow me anyway. So he takes a select number of people with him. Specific people. He says, boys, I want you to watch this. I want you to see this. And he does that. And he gets over her body and says, little girl, get up. Get up. And Jesus said, hey, she wasn't dead. She was just asleep. Now, not physically asleep. Now, she was dead in every term that you would understand, I'd understand. But what does she represent? She was 12 years old. She represents this young generation. She represents this young generation, the young church, this new breed of champions. The world, the religious crowd's been telling you, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. There's no use in doing this Jesus thing. Jesus can't help you. You're dead. But oh, if you let Jesus just brood over you. If you just let Jesus speak life into you, then you'll find out that you're not dead. You've just been asleep. You just need to be awakened. And we need to awaken this sleeping giant and unleash this new breed, this next generation on the world that's out there today. And I want to tell you, there's a new season of miracles over there. Miracles over demons, yes. Miracles over disease, yes. And miracles over death. I believe God can do it because the way that He was is the way that He is. And God's raising up a new generation, a new church, if you please, that's got their water pistol and they're finding the gates of hell and they're storming it right now. And I wonder how many of you are hearing Jesus say today, follow me to the other side. There's some of you today that you need to be saved. That's what Jesus is saying. But guess what? An invitation is required. You can't get saved when you want to. You can't even get saved when you think you're supposed to. You have to get saved when He says now. And today, if you understand that you're a sinner that's separated from God and you can have a personal relationship with Him by grace through faith, today is the day of your salvation. It may not seem logical to you. It may not seem profitable to you. It may not even seem comfortable to you. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Get saved today. Give Him your life today. And you'll find out that you're not dead. You've been awakened to your purpose and destiny. And for others of you that are tired of church the way that church has been, it's a new day. We've got a new level of ministry awaiting on us. And we've got a new level or season of miracles available for us. Who's going to get in the boat and go to the other side? I'm going to the other side. And when He goes to the next side, I'm going to that side. When He goes to the next side, I'm going to the next side. I'm following Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we come to You today thanking You that You invite us to follow You to the other side. And Lord, I thank You for those that You have been talking to about letting You become personal to them. And I'm praying that today would be the day that they ask Jesus to be the Lord, to be the boss of their life. Lord, I thank You for those that have already done that. And I thank You that they're willing to get in Your boat and go with You to the other side. We thank You for the ministry that doesn't even seem possible. Because what is impossible with us is possible with You. I thank You for the other little boats that You brought together with us at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. And I pray right now, Father, for those who are in a storm, that they would rise up and ask You to calm the storm for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.